Bible for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that should be of grave concern for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, every citizen for that matter. It is our Bill of Rights. In our Bill of Rights, in the First Amendment, we find in part, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize if we have the abridgment, modification, change, or encroachment on our freedom of speech, that affects our religious liberties also? One of the major, if I could say it again, major reasons that I have grave concern in relationship to our Bill of Rights, in particular our First and Second Amendment, we're talking about the First Amendment today, is that if we do not have that religious liberty, that freedom of speech, our churches are in danger, the gospel ministry is in danger, the opportunity we have to evangelize is in danger. And right now we're witnessing the encroachment of those very rights that gives us the privilege of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ through social media, on the airwaves, and in person to person, house to house, street to street. Ladies and gentlemen, what I have been known to call shoe leather evangelism would be in grave danger. In fact, in the nation of Canada today, and perhaps in many other nations, I'm sure, that are Islamically jihadistically controlled, but in the nation of Canada, you cannot get on radio and television and preach the truth of Romans chapter 1 about the sodomite agenda and what God says about the sodomites. You can't get on radio and television, preach that. And if we are in the position right here in our own state, right here in the city of Jacksonville, we're in the position of grave danger if some regulations are passed, some guidelines are passed. They're talking about extending the human reprobate ordinance in our city. The Human Rights Ordinance, I call it reprobate, was passed in 2017. They're simply taking that regulation, modifying, modulating, enhancing, changing, and enlarging the tentacles thereof. And it is an infringement on our freedom of speech. If I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that all Islamic jihadists are going to die and go to hell unless they say yes to Jesus, that's my prerogative with the freedom of speech and religious liberties. If I put on the church's marquee out there that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, every sodomite's going to die and go to hell unless they say yes to Jesus Christ. That's my privilege of religious liberties and freedom of speech. But yet, if some of these regulations are passed, that will encroach upon that and take away our free speech. Perhaps you're saying, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a church, even some might even say I'm not a Christian, so what would that matter? Ladies and gentlemen, you take away one iota, one part, modulate, modify one part of our religious liberty and freedom of speech, you may as well just destroy it. And many today, as sharp as tacks on the left, the loose likes, lost liberals, I call them, that's pushing the Marxist, socialist, communist agenda in America, the major things, the major tenets of Marxism, the major tenets of socialism and communism, is to remove the freedom of speech for its citizens. Let me go back to an article that I was touching on a moment ago when Greg was on the line. Judicial Watch. New records detail the federal-state censorship coordination in 2020. Judicial Watch announced today it received 110 pages of heavily redacted records from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, and a Freedom of Information Act, the FOIA, F-O-I-A, lawsuit that allows state officials, election officials, in the days before and after the 2020 election, flagging online content deemed, quote, misinformation, and sending it to the Center for Internet Security, CIS, and DHS-funded nonprofit. Listen, let me go back now. It's misinformation and disinformation being sent to the Center for Internet Security, called CIS, which is a DHS, Department of Homeland Security, funded nonprofit. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, the Election Integrity Partnership, and others. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me just say this very candidly. It's a five-page article. What has just been discovered by a FOIA request is the fact that DHS, Department of Homeland Security, a department of the federal government, set up a separate private nonprofit corporate entity, and that nonprofit corporate entity is called the Center for Internet Security. Now that sounds really wonderful, doesn't it? So listen, the federal government cannot censor what I say, cannot censor what you say, cannot censor the online material, but they have set it up so that the Center for Internet Security can, because it's a 501c organization, a nonprofit organization, and it can censor what we say, it can modify what we say, it can listen to and siphon from all sources of text messages, email messages, telephone calls, Facebook, Instagram, etc., 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 and report back to the DHS, and then DHS give it further instructions to censor it, to stop it, and to remove it from the platforms. Now, that's a way to circumvent our Bill of Rights. That's a way to circumvent the right of free speech. That's the way to remove your free speech and my free speech, and the government say, it's not us, we're not doing it, it's not the government that's doing it. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The U.S. Supreme Court just ruled that the government can do that. Did you know that? I've got a headline. If it sounds like I'm passionate about this issue, it's because I am. A government veto on free speech at the Supreme Court, dated the 26th of June, 2024. A case pending in the U.S. Supreme Court stems from the efforts of a multitude of federal agencies made to remove certain viewpoints from public view. In other words, they sought to abridge, listen, sought to abridge the freedom of speech. You know, that thing that the First Amendment explicitly bans and says you can't do. The case Murphy versus Missouri, formerly Missouri versus Biden, may support or overturn the Fifth Circuit's ruling that the government violated the First Amendment to reduce the circulation of viewpoints that various agencies believed noxious, N-O-X-I-O-U-S. This included, the court noted in its decision, controversies surrounding COVID-19 lab leak, pandemic lockdowns, vaccine side effects, election fraud, and the Hunter Biden laptop. In many cases, the speech that offended the government, listen, the speech that offended the government has proven demonstrably to be true. The high social cost of school closings, for example, the prevalence of Hunter Biden's laptop. But the central problem is that the government sought and often succeeded in blocking free expression rather than engage in free and open debate. The government sought to quash it. Speakers who are targeted for silencing. The government primary evidence came from caches of correspondence revealing government administrations cajoling, berating, swearing at, and arguably threatening policy sanctions executives at Twitter, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, and Spotify, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what am I saying? Simply saying this. There were several states, I think there were five states, don't have it before me, but there were five states that had filed suit against the federal government asking the federal government to stop censoring free speech. But because the government has set up a nonprofit, an NGO, nonprofit organization that was bought, paid for, sponsored, and tax money using to support that nonprofit. Ladies and gentlemen, it was used to censor the platforms during 2020 election, and since then, dealing with COVID-19. Multitudes of people, including those that are listening today. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Do you think free speech should be modified? You think free speech is something that can be just willy-nilly changed, modified, and or censored? Do you think the government has the authority to do so? Do you believe that the Supreme Court made the right decision when the Supreme Court said that the government can use some type nonprofit organization or a separate organization to censor what you say and I say, report back to the federal government so that they can cause it to cease and desist? Do you think that's all right? What are your thoughts? 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, these five states that made the claim, filed the case, the Supreme Court heard it, and let me just, for the sake of time, give you a boil down statement in relationship to the Supreme Court. I've got the 30-some-odd page document of the Supreme Court's ruling on that. And the Supreme Court basically said that those five state leaders, those five state attorney generals, have not yet been hurt or harmed. Therefore, they do not have standing. Therefore, it is left to remain intact that our federal government can, via a nonprofit organization, a separate organization, bought, paid for, and set up through the Department of Homeland Security, that they in fact can continue to force social media to censor our free speech. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that the federal government, the Supreme Court, just made the ruling that it's okay to censor free speech. This article says here, the case Murphy against versus Missouri, formerly known as Missouri versus Biden, may support or overturn the Fifth Circuit's ruling. That's exactly what the Supreme Court did. So the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said that the government could not cudgel, pressure, and push as they call it here, the berating, swearing at, arguably threatening the executives at Twitter and Facebook and Google and Microsoft and Spotify, said that they could not do that. The government could not do it. But yet now the Supreme Court overturned the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that had ruled that that was illegal. They could not do it. So now here we are with the Supreme Court giving a good ruling that President Trump has immunity in any act done as president, but in personal acts it would stand scrutiny as to whether or not it was a legal act for him to carry out. But at the same time, rendering a decision that we can have our freedom of speech modified, curtailed, or in some way totally censored and taken off of the media, social media platforms. During the apex of COVID, I was saying almost every day that the COVID vaccinations are death jabs. I was saying almost every day that COVID is a plandemic. I said almost every day that it was planned, prepared, and paid for with taxpayer money through Sir Anthony Fauci, that he is Mr. Science. It had been removed from activity and the gain-of-function research in the United States of America. Sir Anthony Fauci took the taxpayer dollars, transferred it to Wuhan lab in China. It took place in a biochemical bioweapons lab in China. I believe it was released in the bioweapons lab in China, and it wasn't something that was from a meat market that was transferred from bats to human beings. They knew that. The federal government knew that. But we were lied to the whole time. And when the truth prevailed, and we're just now finding the truth prevailing, it has been discovered that just about everything that was censored about the election in 2020, everything that was censored about COVID and the dangers of COVID, the lies from the CDC and the FDA and the federal government, all of that's being uncovered now as having been a lie, just as with the Hunter Biden laptop, that 51 liars that claim to be out of the CIA and the FBI with a background of intelligence showed their lack of intelligence by signing a 51 signed a letter saying that all that was supposed to be truthful, we're told that was true on social media and other platforms about the Hunter Biden laptop. They said it was Russian disinformation. We have discovered in the elongation of time that it was not Russian disinformation, just as President Trump was not a Russian agent, was not a Russian acolyte in some fashion trying to undermine and tear down America. Those things were projections from the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party of what they were doing and are still doing today, but wanting to censor our free speech and in some way circumvent what we have to say in relationship to these events taking place. And then the article that I read a portion of a moment ago, a government veto on free speech at the Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, it's exactly what we see happening now with the Surgeon General of the United States of America now saying that we need to have warning labels. Hear me, listen, that we need to have warning labels on social media. So if you click on a media platform, a red flag comes up or the whole screen turns red and warning, this information is not true, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or that it could be harmful or dangerous. And supposedly that's being done. The U.S. Surgeon General calls for social media platforms to display a mental health warning. Now, let me pause before I read the balance of that first page on the three-page article on that. It sounds legitimate. The Surgeon General wanting to protect America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe this man has come up with this information and this suggestion himself. I believe this is through the back door, the back room of the attempts to modify, modulate, and to cancel our free speech in general. But he says that it's done. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, M-U-R-T-H-Y, says a health warning for social media platforms is not enough and Congress should act. U.S. Surgeon General argued social media companies should be required to display mental health warnings about the use of their platform. The official first sounded the alarm about social media last year when he called on Congress to enact policies that would listen. Hear me. Would prevent adolescents from being exposed to extreme violence and or sexual content via the social media platform. I'm going to pause for a minute. Let that soak in. Wanting to protect our kids from violence, extreme violence, and sexual content. And ladies and gentlemen, that extreme violence is seen in the hallways of our schools every day across America. That extreme violence is seen on most all movies that are produced today. And to talk about protecting them from sexual content when they're taught raw pornography in our classroom through the sodomite LGBTQ agenda, when they're taught all manner of evil and wickedness and the destruction of morals and ethics and values in our public school classrooms at the authorization of the U.S. Department of Education, the promulgation and the pushing by Joe Biden and his administration. Wanting to change Title IX of the educational agreement, ladies and gentlemen, that would allow the sexually dysphoric individuals to go into girls' bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, and dressing rooms, and saying it's okay. That same Joe Biden that allows the transsexuals to say there's about 157 different genders, and God created only Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. I agree that we need to protect our kids as much as possible. But ladies and gentlemen, putting a warning on social media is going to open the door of Pandora's box. If that goes into effect, if they pass a law and it goes into effect, all it takes is about 6, 8, 10, 12, 18 months before they decide we need to modulate, to modify, and to enhance that law. Listen, that is precisely what's happening in Duval County today. They're taking the Human Reprobate Ordinance of 2017. That is the foundation. They're simply modifying that foundation. To modify that foundation, that if I'm preaching the gospel in a tent meeting, using a loudspeaker to do so, I could violate what they call the sound ordinance. But it would not be the decibels of sound that get someone upset. It would be the content of what I'm preaching and teaching. We could put on our sign out front that homosexuals are going to hell, and someone that doesn't like that, it offends them. It could be called hate speech, and therefore I could be persecuted, prosecuted, fined, and put in jail for doing so. what we're watching today in Duval County with the modulation, the moderation, changing of the 2017 HRO is exactly what we're talking about. They're wanting to do on a federal level with our warnings on social media. They want to set up a law, get a law passed that will give greater strength for the federal government to cancel, to censor what you or I want to say. Here's the headline. Attorney General demands a halt to the criticism of the Biden Justice Department. Hear me. This deals with free speech. If I want to say that Joe Biden and his acolytes as Merrick Garland, that's in the DOJ, the FBI, the DHS, the IRS, etc., I call them thugs with badges. If I want to call them that the rest of my life, that should be my privilege under free speech. Here's the Attorney General demanding a halt to any criticism of the Biden Justice Department. Merrick Garland, an Attorney General, as Attorney General, the nation's chief law enforcer, is demanding a halt to all opposition to and criticism of the political investigation that his department has launched, including those against President Donald Trump. Garland claimed recent attacks have been beyond criticism and oversight and are baseless, personal, and dangerous. He then cited his very real worry. These attacks come in the form of threats to defund particular department investigations, most recently the special counsel prosecution of the former president. Is Merrick Garland's demand a threat against America's free speech? ? Yes, it is. The government's putting themselves in a position that they're going to be king and the arbiter of truth in any fashion. And if what we say as citizens happens to go against what they feel is truth, then they feel that they should have the authority to simply cancel it and to deprogram it, if you please, and to remove it. Here's a headline. The Biden campaign gets caught trying to silence voters from speaking the truth about Biden. I'm going to cut you off. This article reads, the Biden campaign is accused of running direct interference to stop voters critical of President Joe Biden from speaking with the media. Another headline, Supreme Court allows the White House to press social media companies to remove disinformation. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court on Wednesday said the White House and the federal government has, such as the FBI, may continue to urge social media platforms to take down certain content that the government views as misinformation and disinformation, handing the Biden administration a technical, important election year victory, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about 4 months out from the election, and the FBI has already said they're set and ready to start with the censorship just as they did in 2020. Now, the Supreme Court ruling that the federal government has the right to censor social media. Can you imagine 90 days from now what we'll be able to say and what we cannot say? It is my most humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that within the next 90 days, about 30 days before the actual election, the actual final ballots are cast, it is my personal opinion that at that point in time, we're going to find a major shutdown of social media interplay, internet dialogue and discussion. We will get to the point where whatever you want to tell a friend, neighbor, or relative, warning them about something that's been said or done, it will not go. Right now, I receive probably 150 to 300 different emails a day, and much of it is about information that's taking place, and many of those articles that I receive and review and research are those quotes that I make on this broadcast every day. And many of those I want to pass on to others that are interested just as I am. About 8 out of 10 of them, if I try to forward, if it has a forwarding title and the algorithms with the social media reads that title in that article, it will not let it go through. If I take the title or the words out of the title that are very, very, very dangerous to some in the administration, then I can get it through. Otherwise, it is censored. Ladies and gentlemen, This says of immediate significance. The decision means that the Department of Homeland Security may continue to flag posts on social media companies such as Facebook, Twitter, and others, and believes that may work on the foreign agents seeking to disrupt this year's presidential race. Rather than delving into the weightiest First Amendment question raised by the case, the court ruled that the state and social media users who challenged the Biden administration, quote, did not have standing to file suit. Ladies and gentlemen, they're saying to those five states that filed suit, you didn't have standing. What do they mean by having standing? You've not been hurt yet. Your voice has not been silenced yet. You've not been damaged yet. You've not had your social media account blocked yet. That's all they're saying, which is a very flimsy excuse for not hearing the case, but it gave the green light for the federal government to continue to censor what we say. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for your program. We appreciate you. And Dr. Youngblood, we are in a war up to the end. Yeshua is returning soon.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is returning soon. And we're at a war up to the end. We can't be playing church anymore. We cannot. We cannot be playing church. There's going to be a lot of warfare going on, a civil war, revolutionary war. They're going to do a digital financial reset on us, and then there's no freedom after that. So we can't be playing church. We got to have congregational fasting and prayer. Guess that's the most powerful weapon that the church has, is congregational fasting and prayer, crying out to God. And, you know, it's not the will of the American people for these abominations to take place. Maybe we should have a holy war, a Christian holy war against the abominations, right? Because it's insane what these people are doing.
Kevin, we're in a frontal, hand-to-hand, holy war combat as we speak. Our words are being censored. Our walk is being censored. Our witness is being censored. The federal government in the United States of America today, under the Biden administration, become a dictatorial king. And yet I laughed at Joe Biden when he was looking at his teleprompter and saying that Donald Trump wants to be king. He wants to go in and does not want to leave office. When, in fact, Joe Biden doesn't want to leave office. Or maybe I should say Jill Biden, Dr. Biden, does not want to leave the White House, and it is putting Joe Biden in a position of continuing his being the puppet. So there's a major, major problem with that, and I pray.
I want to thank this country for all this. You know, what makes this country great, Dr. Youngblood, is we have made sacrifices.
Yes.
People have given their lives to make sacrifices to make this country great. We shed blood for this country to make it great. And we are the number one nation in the world. No other nation compares to us. We're number one in the Olympics. We're number one in everything. And you know what? Jesus Christ, Yahshua Mashiach, is what has made this nation great.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You know, we got to cry out to him to save us from these abominations.
You're exactly right. Kevin, you're exactly right, especially now we celebrate 248 years of freedom in America. We need to say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for America, and keep praying, keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.